Every 12 minutes. That's how often the average person checks their phone. Not because we're waiting for something urgent, but because we've been engineered to crave it. We live in an age where democracy itself is under siege, not by tanks or tyrants, but by the very devices we can't put down. The threat isn't coming from outside our borders. It's nestled in our pockets, learning our deepest fears and desires with every swipe and click. What happens when the tools designed to connect us become weapons that divide us? When the platforms promising freedom deliver surveillance? And when the technologies meant to empower citizens instead undermine the very foundations of self-governance? We're all living inside a digital panopticon, Jeremy Bentham's prison design reimagined for the smartphone era. But this time, the guards are algorithms, and the prisoners volunteered. This isn't paranoia. It's business strategy refined over a century, and understanding how we got here is the first step toward breaking free. John Watson pioneered behaviorism in the 1920s, proving human behavior could be measured, predicted, and controlled, birthing the advertising industry. Silicon Valley has perfected his vision. Facebook doesn't just show content, it studies why you clicked, how long you lingered, what made you scroll faster. Every feature triggers dopamine release. Sean Parker, Facebook's first president, later admitted they deliberately exploited a vulnerability in human psychology. The goal was addiction, not connection. The data collection is staggering. Companies like Axiom maintained thousands of data points on hundreds of millions of people. By 2020, 50 billion internet-enabled devices gathered information from virtually every corner of our lives. Algorithms deduce your sexual orientation, political beliefs, and personality traits from trivial digital breadcrumbs. The real danger isn't surveillance, it's transformation. Constant visibility creates self-censorship. For every angry Twitter troll, hundreds lurk silently, terrified of saying the wrong thing. Democracy requires citizens who can make mistakes, learn, and grow. But when your digital past is permanent and searchable, silence becomes the safest option. We're creating a generation that knows how to perform politics, but has forgotten how to think. Machines now diagnose cancer, approve loans, and predict criminal behavior, often outperforming humans. We've accepted this in aviation, where autopilot is safer than manual flight. But these systems don't stop at practical decisions. They're making moral ones. Algorithms determine who gets hired, which teachers get fired, and which neighborhoods get more police presence. They appear objective, just math, but they reproduce the biases of their creators and training data, creating self-perpetuating loops of injustice. The real threat isn't that AI makes poor decisions, it's that it makes excellent ones. When machines consistently outperform humans, we delegate more choices to them, including moral reasoning. Millions already use apps to decide how to vote. This represents a moral singularity, the point where we outsource substantial moral judgment to machines. Democracy isn't just about good outcomes, it's about citizens actively exercising moral reasoning. Meanwhile, the world of three shared TV channels is gone, replaced by infinite personalized feeds. The internet enables homophily, clustering with people like ourselves. Marshall McLuhan predicted this. Written words create rational people who carefully categorize information, while electronic media produces emotional, tactile responses. Democracy aspires to thoughtful debate and compromise. The internet operates on immediate, instinctive reactions. During the 2016 election, fake news on Facebook outperformed established journalism, not because people are stupid, but because emotional content spreads faster than careful analysis. Inside an unremarkable San Antonio building, Trump's digital headquarters, Project Alamo, waged a new kind of war. While Clinton relied on traditional polling and TV ads, Brad Parscale and Cambridge Analytica built a database with 5,000 data points on 230 million Americans, identifying 13.5 million persuadable voters across 16 battleground states. a micro-propaganda machine of thousands of right-wing web pages spread targeted content using advanced tracking and AI optimization. Russian interference amplified the assault, flooding social media with discord-sowing messages. Parscale's strategy proved decisive. He shifted resources to Michigan and Wisconsin, states considered safely Democratic since Reagan. Trump's razor-thin victories in Pennsylvania, 44,000 votes, Wisconsin, 22,000, and Michigan, 11,000, delivered the presidency despite Clinton winning the popular vote by 2 million. As Parscale told CBS, "I took every nickel and dime I had out of everywhere else, and I moved it to Michigan and Wisconsin. Democracy had been hacked, not by changing votes, but by changing minds with surgical precision." Tony Hughes trains the AI replacing him. In Rosebud, a semi-autonomous truck, AI handles 70% of driving while Tony supervises. DeepMind's AlphaGo Zero mastered Go through pure self-teaching. McKinsey estimates 45% of current tasks could be automated with existing technology. And the Bank of England warns 15 million British jobs might vanish within a generation. The real threat isn't unemployment, it's extreme inequality. AI excels at routine tasks, but struggles with unpredictable situations, requiring sensory motor skills, Mravec's paradox. This creates a barbell-shaped economy, where high-skilled jobs, machine learning specialists, and low-skilled jobs, delivery cyclists, gardeners, survive, while middle-tier positions, paralegals, radiologists, disappear. Since the 1970s, productivity has soared while median wages stagnated. Technology's benefits flow to those closest to the machines. Silicon Valley's solution? Universal basic income, unconditional money for all. Pilot schemes run in Oakland and Finland. Yet Y Combinator President Sam Altman dismissed concerns about a small wealthy elite and subsistence-level masses as pessimistic and anti-progress. The likely outcome? Digital feudalism, where algorithm lords rule over precariat peasants. Tech monopolies control the platforms where democracy happens. Unlike traditional monopolies that raised prices, these companies offer free services while accumulating unprecedented power over public discourse and data. Political parties depend on these platforms to reach voters, creating dangerous dependency where business interests trump democratic values. These companies mobilize users politically. Uber rallied users against Transport for London, Google blacked out its homepage to defeat anti-piracy legislation, Airbnb created home-sharing clubs to fight regulations. They transform citizens into consumer activists who respond to corporate calls rather than independent civic judgment. The ultimate victory is cultural hegemony. Silicon Valley has spread the Californian ideology, a fusion of bohemianism and free market zeal, promising technological liberation will solve all problems. Children now aspire to become YouTube stars, 30%, rather than doctors. We now look to tech geek superheroes instead of the state. Elon Musk for space and climate, Google for health, Facebook for free speech. Democracy becomes an app, citizenship becomes consumption, and the public good becomes whatever increases shareholder value. Three futures compete for dominance. The utopian vision promises abundance. The dystopian sees governments collapsing and the wealthy retreating to fortresses. But the most likely scenario is grimmer. Inequality worsens while gig economics and cryptocurrencies erode tax bases. Governments fail citizens, creating a cycle where distress breeds dysfunction. Technology feels liberating individually, blinding us to systemic threats. Even tech creators are alarmed. Antonio Garcia Martinez, former Facebook executive, abandoned Silicon Valley for a remote island stocked with guns and survival supplies, warning, "I've seen what's coming." Democracy demands both citizen action and radical reform. We must reclaim mental independence through deliberate disconnection and treat online actions as politically meaningful. Tech companies need new ethics, prioritizing human well-being over engagement. Education must teach critical thinking, addressing digital mechanisms and psychological biases. Election laws require transparency in social media spending. New taxation models, like robot taxes, must address automation. Workers' rights need strengthening in the gig economy. The stakes are existential. We're deciding whether democracy survives the digital age. Every mindless scroll, every unread terms acceptance, every convenience over privacy choice votes for your future. The algorithms watch, learn, and wait. Will we wake up or scroll into a future where freedom becomes a forgotten feature?